gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the drive down a country lane of free speech because the weather's nice. It might rain, but rain can be nice too. So go to republicbroadcasting.org. It will rain free speech on you. And you can send a check or money order from our future sponsor, Piggly Wiggly. Mail it to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664, or phone it in. Phone it in to 1-800-724-2719 extension 3. Okay, today we have with us Paul Stevenson. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Patrick, and it's great to be with you.
It's great to be with you. Well, I'd like to start the show with a 32-minute monologue about something completely unrelated to what we discussed earlier, and then kick it over to you.
Yeah, do that. I'm really good at that. I've got a lot of practice at that, actually.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so I was listening to you, your show with David Duke yesterday that was more or less kind of about artificial intelligence, and you did take exception to the term artificial intelligence because, sentient being, computers develop sentience because it's not from God. It's an affront to God. Just start with that and then go wherever.
Well, it is an affront to God because they may be able to create, and they have done already, obviously, very, very powerful computers, and which can do all manner of things. And this artificial intelligence thing, I heard Elon Musk, he seems to think that it is actual consciousness. To me, that is, it is an affront to God. It's blasphemous, in my opinion, because no human being can create consciousness. When you're a child and, I don't know, we have consciousness, at 3, maybe 4, most people start to have memories. And as you start to become more self-aware, you realize that you are, you have self-awareness. You're aware that you're a human being, that somehow you've come into consciousness. If you're not a Christian or not a believer in God, you would attribute this consciousness to, in some other way. But as a Christian, I believe that God and God alone can create that consciousness. And I don't think, no matter how many intelligent people program an intelligent system that we call AI, that it's going to have self-awareness. It won't. It's still going to be dependent on, binary knots and ones and information that's programmed into it. Because otherwise, you have to then say that mankind can create consciousness, and we can create other human beings, because presumably eventually if you can do that, you can put it in a smaller form and you can put it in a body and you can let it crack on, and it'll be like a human being. And I mean, is AI dangerous? I think it is, of course. I think where it's headed and how it'll be used, but I don't think it has autonomy and consciousness. It's not capable of what Patrick Slattery and Paul Stevenson are capable of, and the whole human race is capable of. It's not capable of. I mean, what is consciousness? Let's try and define that. Mm-hmm. I think a big part of it is to have self-awareness, is to realize that you are existing, because I don't think, animals would have a form of consciousness, but it seems to me it would be a very low form of consciousness. But our consciousness is the most superior on the planet that we know of, and it is capable of interacting with the actual creator. I interact with the creator in my life. I have a relationship with, I don't know why he bothers, but somehow he decided he was interested in having a relationship with me. And no computer is going to do that. So that's my views on that. So, I mean, I don't know why Musk thinks or seems to think that this artificial intelligence would actually have actual consciousness, you know? And if anybody tells you that, I think there's a big agenda behind that in itself.
Mm-hmm. So we have, at least some of us, have self-awareness. I think some of us don't seem to have very much self-awareness. And we have consciousness. And regarding artificial intelligence, what should be debated? The question really shouldn't be whether it has consciousness or self-awareness. That's not really the key thing. What artificial intelligence is, it's a computer program. Like you said, it's a computer program. Somebody programs it, but it also has the aspect of self-programming, where it can modify its program. And what programs are, they're algorithms, they're decision-making processes, and I've done a lot of programming. I'm not a good programmer, but I'm an experienced programmer. And you write code, and the code might say, okay, look at a line of text. I used to do a website called ZioWatch.com, and it would take, for instance, it would take an article, automatically it would take articles from, say, the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, and it would look at, I would want to reproduce the first couple of paragraphs of its text. So it would download the source code, and it would look at the lines of the source code. And when the text comes between certain tags in the HTML, and so I would have it read a line and see if the proper tags of HTML were there, and if they weren't there, I'd say read the next line, and if they were there, I'd say, okay, print the text, and, you know, maybe modify it a little bit, substitute the a quotation mark for something else, you know, that type of thing. And so
Did it ever stop you halfway through and say, Patrick, get on with it?
No, get on with it. Anyway, so here's the thing. So the artificial intelligence is, these programs are written in such a way that the program can modify its own text or its own source code, its own program based on algorithms of what is preferable, what's better,
based on the Talmud. Yeah.
Based on the Talmud. Well, this is the thing. So, if you have Larry Page from Google, Google is a thoroughly Jewish company, and you can see from the results, we don't have to talk about how much of a self-identification Larry Page has as a Jew. We just need to look at the results of Google. And if you do a Google search, it sanitizes your search. If you were to try to do research on the Holocaust preventionists, it's not going to give you the results that you're actually looking for. It's going to might even give you just something from the ADL talking about the dangers of a Holocaust revisionist, that type of thing. So it's designed that way. And this is Larry Page. This is Sergey Brin. And so they're going to try to design something in such a way as to promote Jewish interests. You know that because that's their track record. And so it doesn't matter whether the AI develops self-awareness or not, but it could, in rewriting or writing its own source code, it could, as it learns, as it develops, it could wind up going in a direction not foreseen by its original programmers. Now, we can leave it at that and go to something completely different because things don't always work out as planned. That might be a good segue into, for instance, the big changes that are happening as a result of the Ukraine war and whatnot. Things don't always go as planned. Didn't Shakespeare write something about the the best laid plans of mice and Jews. Didn't he write something about that?
I don't know. Maybe. Probably.
Oh, mice and men. I'm sorry, mice and men. Yeah.
Yeah, you never know. He maybe had his own private edition where it was mice and Jews.
Well, I mean, given the Merchant of Venice, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've also been looking at... are we changing the subject from the AI thing now, then?
Oh, go right ahead.
Yeah, just on a side issue, I have been watching some of this... the committee, this committee that has been grilling Alex Mayorkas, the Jew in charge of your borders, and
Alejandro Mayorkas.
Yeah, so everybody's been laying into him, and you know it's quite clear that these guys are making it clear that this is unprecedented. That he's destroying the demographic anatomy of the country, and other things pertaining to the wrecking ball that is the southern border for the United States. But I wonder, you know, I wonder a few things. Do people know, do these guys know that the Jews are invested in multiculturalism and that they feel safer in a multicultural society and that they, the more people they bring in and then make these laws for minorities, it's really all about protecting them while they rape and pillage? And do they know that Jews hate whites and that they're trying to replace white people? You know, they've put him on the spot and they've outlined what he's done and that it's, you know, bordering on treasonous in some heavy language. But don't they do any research into where this guy comes from? He's a Jewish immigrant himself from Cuba, and it's almost like I think they do know, and they just haven't got the, you know, the testicular fortitude to say it. That, you know, you're basically part of a fifth column in the country,
mm-hmm.
trying to wreck the country.
By the way, do you know what he was doing immediately before he got pulled into the cabinet in his current post overseeing immigration? You know what he was doing?
No.
He was on the board of directors of the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society.
Okay. Right. Okay. Well, some of these guys must know this. And they must know that Jews are doing what they've done through history. They must know that. And they must know that this is what happens when you allow these people into control, into these positions. It's the same with Merrick Garland, part of the DOJ. One of the guys was grilling him about going after Catholics. Just go into Wikipedia and you can see this guy's history and where he came from, where his relatives, where his grandparents came from, and what his history is, and you'll see he's part of a clique that hate Catholics. You shouldn't be surprised. So it's like they get so close to it and they outline how unprecedented this is and how the United States history has never seen anything like this without actually ever, you know, just even going, just mentioning it. Is your background a factor? Because I'm starting to think it is, sir. You know, anything to get this out in the open. And also, whatever happens to these people, that Mayorkas, you know, Garland looked like a little boy. I don't know whether that's real or fake, but he looked scared. Mayorkas is a stiff-necked, little, petulant little bugger. You know, he's got his head up high. He's not, what's the word I'm looking for? He's just so stiff-necked, unremorseful, unrepentant. You know, he's just winding the guys up, you know what I mean? He keeps repeating the same sort of narrative despite all the evidence. But it seems to me these committees, they outline all this stuff, but no one ever resigns, let alone go to prison, let alone get, you know, maybe be hanged for treason or whatever. You know, do you know these? Have you been watching any of this committee stuff? What happens after this? These guys just crack on and continue in their posts or what? Because they keep saying the Democrats, and this is what annoys me, because the way I see it is, it's not Merrick Garland and Mayorkas doing the bidding for the Democratic Party. It's the other way around. It's complete 180 on that. You know, Biden and the Clintons of this world are in the pockets of Jewry doing the bidding of the Jews.
And the Jews have done a very good job of making it look, huh?
Yeah. As our Ted Cruz and, these other people, Josh Hawley and these people, they are too.
Yeah, it's the same with Janet Yellen. Same with Janet Yellen, the Federal Reserve. So you have Jews running the biggest bank in the world, running your economic system and your Department of Justice and your Homeland Security. I mean, no one says, you know, listen, everything's going wrong here. You know, what's the common denominator? And like I said, you know, the Federal Reserve likes to spin this that, you know, we're only doing what the Biden administration wants us to do. Well, you were doing the same thing whenever Trump was president. And, you know, Obama, it doesn't matter what president it is, you guys are doing the same stuff all the time. So who's really working for who? So anyway, I wanted to put that in there because I just wondered if anything ever happens to these people, or are these committees just, I don't know, is it just dog whistling for Republicans or what?
So these, every now and then I see clips from committee hearings, and Mayorkas and Merrick Garland and Janet Yellen are the heads of departments. They're the heads of major departments. And the Senate and the House, the Congress has oversight. And so as far as I know, these hearings are simply oversight hearings. I'm, every now and then you'll have hearings that are on specific issues, right, where they're investigating something. As far as I know, I haven't paid too much attention to this latest round. As far as I know, these are just regular oversight hearings. And so the cabinet minister comes in and the senators, or if it's the House, the representatives, they posture and try to get some good sound bites. And nothing happens as a result of that. You could have, and there's been threatened impeachment proceedings against these people. As far as I know, those aren't going anywhere. But, you know, last thing I want to say regarding how much these people know, how much does Josh Hawley or Ted Cruz or, you know, Democrats, how much do they actually know? Well, to an extent, they have to know something, right? They can't just not know that Merrick Garland or Janet Yellen, I mean, Janet Yellen, I mean, she's so obviously Jewish. I think she did the voice for Kyle's mom on South Park. I think that was what she was doing before she was in the Treasury. She's a caricature. So on the one hand, you have to know, but on the other hand, you know, I guess I could use the word obsessed about Jewish power at least since the early 1990s. I was interested in it before that, but I remember getting to grad school in America and saying, oh, wait a minute, half of my professors are Jewish. Wait a minute. These Jewish professors in particular, the readings that they put on the syllabus, it's mostly other Jews.
Why do you think they love democracy? You know, they get the kids in there, put them through the indoctrination centers, and they can go out and vote for Jewish policies. And then the Jews aren't happy enough to have that in the West. They have to then spread this disease around the world if they can, spreading democracy.
But now the thing is, I was obsessed with it, and yet, like, I could see the Jewish domination. Well, it's easy. Even before that, I knew that we had a Jewish dominated foreign policy towards the Middle East. And then I started saying, well, actually, you've got Jewish-dominated foreign policy in general. Oh, you've got Jewish-dominated economic policy. Oh, well, actually, the government's pretty well Jewish-dominated. Oh, so is the media. So is, you know, I started building databases. And yet, it was almost 20 years. It was probably about 20 years before I realized that part of this Jewish agenda.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Which will conclusively prove George Soros' role in orchestrating the plandemic. But first, dear patriots, the truth train has brought us a conspiracy in our own backyard. Now, you may think you know the story.
Now, it's like I always say, there's a whole lot of bullshit out there. So I'd like to give Soros, Pelosi, the Zionists, the Mexican, the snowflakes, and...
Stay strong, truth tellers. Stay strong.
And we'll rock till the break of dawn. This feels like heaven. Just you and me. This feels like heaven.
You're listening to RBN in defense of the Republic.
So is, you know, I started building databases, and yet it was almost 20 years. It was probably about 20 years before I realized that part of this Jewish agenda was the destruction of white people. Even though I was obsessed with it, even though I'm pretty smart, I didn't get that until listening to David Duke's audiobook of My Awakening. I didn't quite make that connection. I was very aware of Jewish power, very opposed to Jewish power, but I didn't understand the fundamental anti-white nature of it. And so, on the one hand, these people like Tucker Carlson, or Josh Hawley, or these people, they can have a certain amount of awareness. But if it took me almost 20 years to understand the fundamental anti-white nature of Jewish power, a lot of these people, probably most of these people, don't have a full understanding of what's going on. They don't have as good of an understanding as we do.
Yeah, well, I think they're not open-minded enough to go there because they might sense that if they could end up there, and, polite people don't want to go there. You know, Tucker's pretty polite at the end of the day. And, a lot of people just don't want to go there, or they're scared. I think on some level they sense that this is something very sinister to be, approaching. But the good news is
Their aggression is backfiring and their hubris is backfiring on them, because these sanctions and the war in Russia has only united the rest of the world who've been under this yoke of the the petrodollar for a long, long time now, and they've had to suffer coups and wars and seeing these people running around, throwing their weight around and bullying everyone, and they've all gotten together now, Putin, China. China has now, you know, made a peace deal, amazingly, with Iran and Saudi Arabia. Syria be brought into this. This is going to be problematic for Israel. What are Israel going to do? The Jews are always, looking after their own interests. They don't care whether it's whoever it is. So they'll probably somehow end up friends with all these people. But the writing's on the wall for the Western dominance. In fact, it's well underway. They've really accelerated the collapse of the petrodollar. And I remember last year saying, you know, it's amazing these people are cutting their own throat. But some people think, oh, it's deliberate. The Jews control the Chinese, and it's like everything. It's like it's all part of one big conspiracy. I mean, this gives too much credit to Jews, quite frankly. And the fact of the matter is, they've bitten off more than they can chew. They've been over aggressive. They've overplayed their hand, and the rest of the world have gotten together, and now they're getting on with it. And they're actually almost just ignoring America. And America's like a little spoilt little brat baby doing what spoilt little brat babies do when you ignore them. So now what are they doing? It's not good enough to be causing carnage in Russia, using the Ukrainians and the Slavs over there, and like a meat grinder. Now they're sending over troops to Taiwan, even though they recognize it's the official U.S. policy to recognize the one China policy. But yet they're going over there because they see the threat, and somehow they seem to think that what they lack in recent world influence and what they lack in weapon or a manufacturing base, which they sold to China. I mean, I'm sick and tired of people condemning China for the fact that they've Americans don't have industry, and the Chinese have got all our industry and they took all our jobs. They didn't take all our jobs. You give them to them. And they are making real stuff. And then they're sending it over to the United States. And what are you sending them? Paper dollars or whatever. Money on, computer. So you don't have to do anything. It's all coming from China. And yet, there's this hatred of China. What have China done? And then they blame them for the fentanyl crisis. Secure your borders. That's the solution to that. But anyway, the insanity of this is now they somehow think they're going to re-correct this rise of China and their world influence, and as I say, their manufacturing base and their superior economy, I guess, by starting a war with them. I mean, and by the way, yeah, this is a China who's now just got Saudi Arabia, Iran, and Russia and Syria as all as like one big club. What could go wrong here, Patrick? I think if this continues, there are going to be a lot of body bags coming back there to the United States. And also, just because it hasn't happened before, don't expect it, because America's a young country. Don't think that the war can't come there. It can, and if they keep pushing it, it might well do.
Mm-hmm.
This is not Iraq and Libya that the U.S. is messing with.
No. These are the two biggest and most serious countries in the world. So China has the biggest population. Russia has the biggest land mass. China has the biggest industrial base. Russia has the biggest resource base.
Yeah,
these are the biggest countries.
And weapons manufacturing. I mean, yeah, sorry to interrupt, but just quickly, I mean, Russia and China did a joint military exercise in the Pacific, South Pacific recently. And as far as I know, Russia are the only ones to have those hypersonic.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Smash that donate button like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say. Yeah, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt, but just quickly, I mean, Russia and China did a joint military exercise in the Pacific, South Pacific recently. And as far as I know, Russia are the only ones to have those hypersonic missiles. And as far as I know, the U.S. hasn't got an answer to those. Sorry to interrupt, Patrick.
No, that's absolutely correct. China has the largest military, at least in terms of personnel. Russia has the largest nuclear arsenal. It's just insane to think that the United States, the post-industrial, post-heterosexual United States, with like the new Joint Chiefs of Staff is probably going to be half female in the United States. They're about to do a reshuffling there, and they're going to have a bunch of females in there. It's going to be girl power.
Yeah, I'm not going to be
Girl generals are, I mean, come on. It's just insane. What was the point I wanted to make? You are getting you do hear a little bit about, France, Macron saying some things and people saying, oh, well, that shows that he's leaving the American orbit, or Japan is going to start buying Russian oil at market prices. Oh, well, that shows they're not in the American orbit anymore. Now, I think that's way overstating it. But what's significant is the countries you mentioned, Saudi Arabia and Iran,
And, you know, you could throw Indonesia and India and Brazil and these really important countries, even if they're third world, really important countries that are gravitating around this new axis. And here's one idea I want to throw out there. So I've been listening to this series of lectures on the Etruscans, the people who were in Italy and Slovenia before the Roman Empire expanded up there. And they're interesting in their own right. But you know how they would execute people? They didn't crucify them. They didn't chop their heads off. They would tie them to a corpse. They would tie them to a corpse. And being tied to a corpse is going to kill you, right? Think about it. And so this is my message to the French or to the Japanese, is you're tied to a corpse. Think about that.
Well, the thing about Macron is, if you watch anything of Macron, I mean, he seems to think that he's got some incredible charm and charisma that he can somehow get away with this. But I'm sure it's not lost on the listeners, whoever it is. But, you know, he basically says whatever the current audience wants him to say. And also, he came back with a big order from Xi Jinping for a big order of Airbus airplanes that are produced in France. So, you know, he can say whatever he wants on a Tuesday and say something completely different on a Friday, you know. But it would be good if what he said about France not being essentially a vassal of the U.S. and they need to be careful, because he's right, like you said. I think Macron can smell the corpse, perhaps, and doesn't want to be tied to it.
Who knows? I mean, Charles de Gaulle, he pulled France out of the NATO military command, not out of the political organization, but out of the military command, and famously demanded to cash in his dollars for gold.
Yeah,
which brought on a big shock to the Bretton Woods system there. There's you mentioned the petrodollar, and I'm on record multiple times as saying I think the idea of the petrodollar is overrated, but it's still a thing. It is still one of the sources of the strength of the dollar, or the continued resilience of the dollar despite the burring of the printing presses, you know, and they've created all these dollars. It, according to conventional economics, the dollar should have weakened considerably with all of this printing of dollars, and it hasn't. And you know, there's the petrodollar aspect to it. There's the reserve currency aspect to it. There are a lot of aspects to it. But just as the petrodollar is having a stake driven through its heart as Saudi Arabia agrees to sell oil to China in yuan, the reserve currency had a stake driven through its heart when the United States just decided to seize Russian deposits in its central bank. It's, you know, it's done that. These Russian sanctions. Who's going to want to use the dollar as a reserve currency if your reserves can just be taken from you and then, oh, let's give them to the Jews who run Ukraine?
Well, exactly. So that's why these countries raised eyebrows and they thought, okay, they can do it to Russia. They can do it to us. I think it's time we did something about this, and they're doing something about it. So I guess, you know, I remember the start of the COVID thing. I remember saying, you know, that this, after this, they'll attack the civil liberties. It'll be a huge wealth transfer. And at the end of it, I said, I think that they're probably, when this whole house of cards is imminent, this whole economic system, and, you know, when the writing's on the wall for that, they'll start a war with China.
Well, let's go, Brandon. I'm driving down the road, and I just see this giant sign. It's for scrap metal. It's got a giant pickup truck on top of a billboard. But then the billboard itself just says, "Let's go, Brandon." Now, like about 50 miles back, I saw a flag, and it's
it wasn't quite so polite. It just used F word Biden, not the code, but the F word Biden, big flag. And I said, wow, well, you know, I'm on my way to Mount Rushmore. I am going to measure Mount Rushmore and see if there's enough rock left for Donald Trump and his hairdo. I don't know. Stay tuned.
Yeah, we'll do. Maybe stick David Duke on there, too.
Yeah, well,
the other four will be on mute.
Yeah, the other four will have to repudiate him. They'll disavow. But, you know, you look around the world, and you had a system, they call it the Bretton Woods system, to a large extent. You had these institutions that came out of the end of World War II and include things like the World Bank and the IMF and the GATT, which then transformed into the World Trade Organization. You had the Bretton Woods money system, the dollar as a reserve currency, and a lot of things that came, that followed suit. You know, SWIFT for doing international transactions, all sorts of things. Oh, and military alliance, the NATO. You had all that stuff that came out of World War II, and to a large extent wasn't global during the Cold War. It was only for half the world during the Cold War. And then with the end of the Cold War and the effective Jewish takeover of the former Soviet Union, then it became this unipolar world. And, oh, the new American century, right? The project for a new American century, Robert Kagan, Victoria Nuland's husband, right? The new American century, which is supposedly the new Jewish century, it's actually turned out to be the new Jewish quarter century. I don't know. Are they going to go beyond the quarter century? Because you are having a replacement of all of those organizations, every single one that I've mentioned. There is a Chinese/Russian counterpart to it that the world is now gravitating towards, whether it's the Belt and Road Initiative. By the way, Elon Musk was saying the United States has spent trillions of dollars going around the world destroying infrastructure, while China's spending trillions of dollars going around the world building infrastructure, which is a good point. But they're being all being replaced. The SWIFT is being replaced with a Chinese-Russian system. They're all being replaced. Even NATO. Yeah.
It's about time, Potter. I'm sick of it. You know, I was saying the other day, you know, I've come to hate the West, and it's not that I hate the West. It's because I hate, you know, who's running it. And, I don't like being here. Even when I was in Italy for a while, I kind of got used to the fact that it actually felt like Europe. It wasn't, you know, there was actually white people there as the dominant demographic in that city, at least. It's a bit different down in the south of Italy, but you come back into London and you'd swear you'd arrived in an airport in India or something. And, it's gone too far. And yet, if you say anything, you're racist. I mean, no other country around the world indulges in this insanity. You know, if you were an alien looking down, you would think Europe was the least racist because, oh, these people are very kind people. They share their territory with everyone. And these people over here, they're the same. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of living in this country. You know, I'm miserable living in it now because I tasted something a little different. You know, living in a country which was white, where it was like majority of Italians and anybody else who weren't Italian, they would be from Austria or Switzerland or Holland or they're just white Europeans in a white European city, Patrick. Imagine that. So,
I don't know if I have that much imagination.
Well, yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's, I'm just sick of it. And then if you're ever talking to anybody, then you have to explain, you know, when you're called racist, that, you know, it's not that I'm racist because racism is presumably that you hate other races because of their race. No. It's just that they've got their own country back in Pakistan, where it's full of Pakistanis, and India back where it's full of Indians and Chinese, whatever. But we're not allowed our own little patch, you know. So And you've got half the population who fall for this nonsense and I'm sick of it. Again, this is why democracy needs to end. Because you will always have a bunch of brainwashed morons. You know, the West is the most propagandized part of the world, in the world, and they're the last to know it. They're so propagandized, it's almost to the point of hopelessness. Because they think that other countries around the world are constantly demonizing them as, oh, you can't believe anything that comes out of China, and you can't believe anything that comes out of Putin. You know, that's still the Soviet Union, apparently. You know, they're just so heavily propagandized, and it's a big, big problem. We've got to get rid of democracy because this is a Jewish idea to serve Jewish interests, and it's done it very well, you know? Because people need to shut the bleep up. People who don't know what they're talking about. And most people don't know what they're talking about, and yet they've got the right to vote when they're ill-informed, ignorant, getting on with their meaningless little lives, doing meaningless little things most of the time. Meanwhile, the country's just crumbling, I mean, just destroyed and sent into the gutter by leaders who are bought and paid for by Jewish oligarchs and who think what the Jewish oligarchs and their media want them to think. It's a tragedy. And I'm struggling to even care anymore about this country, you know? I've been away from it for a while. It's just as soon as I see Rishi Sunak or some of the morons in Parliament, it's just like, you know what? I'm not interested, you know? The country's wrecked. I want to go somewhere else. You know? I'm in white flight mode.
Okay, I appreciate your rant very much. And I do. And I want to ask something. So I would say that for a while in the United States, democracy was working out pretty well, and we built a society that was pretty good for its people. I judge things by the results. Just like I said, I wanted to judge Larry Page by his behavior, not by what I guess is in his heart. I think we got pretty good results in America, building a pretty decent society. But we're way beyond that, though. We're way beyond that. Yeah. And so here's the thing. So in democracy, in any society, you have elites who make the decisions for the society. And what happened in our democracies, is, as Ezra Pound said, they're run by Jews. You have an opinion-making machine, the media, in academia, elsewhere. You have public advertising industry. You've got this Jewish opinion-making apparatus that has forged these weird opinions, these weird self-destructive opinions, and the countries are being run through the democracy, our democracy. The countries are being run by an elite that really, really dislikes the people they govern over. But, yeah. It is a problem. How do you get elites who at a very minimum don't dislike you? And, you know, currently you can look at China or Russia and say, well, their elites are doing pretty well for their people. They probably don't hate their own people. They're doing pretty well. Japan has elites that don't hate it, but unfortunately Japan is tied to a corpse. And so it's prognosis isn't very good. But how do we get to a place where we're not run by people that hate us?
Yeah, well, they've sewn up so many institutions now in the whole political system that it's very, very difficult. But it's got to happen some way. You've got to get these people out of the West somehow, because it's untenable. It'll have to come to that at some point, and I believe it will come to that at some point. You know, eventually people will stop being so polite. Usually, sadly, when they're starving and their children are starving.
Well, here's one of my latest things. If my regular listeners know, for the past week or so, I've been on this new kick. Vichy France, right? Vichy France. So France was occupied by that avuncular character with the stylish mustache. And it was occupied, but
only parts of it were really occupied for the most part, and the rest of it was just allowed to kind of go on its way. And you had this Vichy government that was run by a, what was it, Pétain, a World War One general. And so here's the thing. What if the United States had a political collapse and wound up being occupied, not necessarily the whole country, but just the problem areas, wound up being occupied by China and Russia and you know, some of their friends in the super friends, some of the super friends like North Korea and Iran and Syria and Belarus, right? The super friends. And, you know, some cities are Chinese and some with that. And then the rest of the country, here's my proposal, which isn't really under direct occupation. It gets to.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Friends, and you know, some cities are Chinese and some with that, and then the rest of the country, here's my proposal, which isn't really under direct occupation. It gets to reorganize itself as, you know, Jesus land, right? Would that be such a bad thing?
No, and listen, when you consider how much that the sanctions on Russia has backfired, it's very possible, you know, if they keep doubling down, they're like some sort of gambling addict in the casino who's just had a big loss. They're being warned by the car dealer that it's best they leave, but they're not. They're doubling down. And, you know, they're going to probably try and start a war with China. They're already sending troops there. So they're betting the whole farm on it, and they're betting the wife and everything on it. And if that backfires, which I expect it will, and the Russians and the Chinese have a military victory over the United States, I think the Chinese and the Russians might decide to do what you were suggesting and put a pro, or at least not a hostile, U.S.-China leader in the White House and exercise that influence like they'll do in Ukraine. Because when this is all finished, Russia's not going to allow a global homo leader in there causing problems. They will have some sort of solution to that problem, whether at the very least they'll hold elections, and that the who will be president in Kiev will not be run by the U.S. and the West. It'll not be a puppet who's hostile to Russia. And so it's not inconceivable that they could, like you said, they could organize something akin to that. Not that they want to rule the United States, but just that it's not hostile, hold elections, and make sure that they monitor that. They might have some guy in there that's making sure that they keep an eye on things. And China doesn't like an interruption to its business. China does not want a war. It doesn't need a war. China is all about business and investing, and it has plans, and it doesn't like these wars. It will fight a war over Taiwan, but it doesn't like them. And if you take the United States out of the equation, then you'd most likely have world peace, because they're the ones, the Jews are the ones going around starting all the wars. So mm-hmm. Why not? You might end up, you know, with that sort of scenario. And hopefully we might end up with it here as well. You know, bring it on, because I'm sick of it.
So we don't have time to really go into any details, but and obviously if we have a nuclear war, that's going to really suck for everybody, except maybe cockroaches and lizards. But we do have a history of countries being extremely weakened, their political systems being extremely weakened by losing a limited war, even a limited war kind of on the other side of the earth. And you think of, for instance, the Tsar's losing the war with Japan.
Look at Germany after World War II.
Well, yeah, Germany after World War II, but that was a huge war. In the case of Russia losing the war against Japan, it was more of an embarrassing war, and it greatly weakened them. And right, so we don't have time to discuss it, but what you're bringing up, it sounds like if you had a politically weakened America, could China and Russia, in their countries, and that's what I want to leave people to ponder. If you want a last word, this is the time for it.
No, I think that's I genuinely think it's a realistic concept. We've seen evidence of it, like you pointed out, and I think it's a positive note to end the show, Patrick.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining me, Paul.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me. We'll talk again soon, Patrick.
Okay, I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.